Welcome back to the Make Money Making Videos podcast. What's going on, people? Welcome to episode number 11, I think this is, of the Make Money Making Videos podcast. Today we're here with Kieran, aka Shot by Kieran. What's going on, Kieran? How you doing, my man?
Hey, not too bad. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm very good, bro, literally. So first off, introduce yourself to the people. Tell them, you know, what you do, what your main source of video creation is. Obviously, this is the Make Money Making Videos podcast, so you must do something to do with video, I'm sure. Tell us about it, my man.
Yeah, cool. So I've been freelance now for about 3 years. I did social media management. I mainly focus on esports, which is like competitive gaming, but I do a lot of like freelance stuff outside that. So I do a lot of nightclubs, I do weddings, so I pretty much do it all. But my main source of income is esports. I've worked with clients like MasterCard, Red Bull, Ubisoft, all in obviously the esports reign.
Yeah.
So I started off doing social media management and then I moved into video. I did the extended diploma, which is like kind of college, like A-level type course. Then I moved on to a higher national diploma and I've just graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Film and Moving Image as well.
Okay, awesome. So what age are you then?
So I'm 21, so I'm 22 this year.
Okay, awesome. So you've actually just finished university?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Wow. So how long do you think you've been creating videos for then? If you've just finished up all this, what age do you think you actually got into this and then that's taken to you to this point?
Well, I always knew I wanted to kind of do what I'm doing right now from like, let's say, secondary school. But I started to create videos when I was in secondary school and that was like short, you know, little like YouTube skits.
Yeah,
you know, back in the day, that was kind of good.
So
I started with that stuff, then I moved into like social media management, which is specifically in esports. So I've managed like different teams social media channels or companies social media channels, and then I kind of focused on like the short films, the music videos, the documentaries. That was like on my course, so during like education I focused on that, and then I kind of combined the two to make freelance.
Awesome. So how did the freelance thing kind of sneak up on you? Because the freelance thing fully snuck up on me. I've been making videos like just amateurly since I was 10 years old, you know, in media class, doing the film trailers and stuff like that, right? I was always making little YouTube videos and stuff, but freelancing just kind of snuck up on me. How did that kind of introduce itself to you? Because that's like the level up, isn't it? Like you make videos for fun and then someone that you know kind of hires you for something for some low amount of money or something. And then you somehow find out that there is a full career that you can kind of like, you know, build for yourself relatively easy out of this if you have the skill.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially what happened with me is I knew obviously that I wanted to do kind of video editing and videography.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to do it in esports. So when I was doing social media management, I like kind of video content in esports wasn't really there. It wasn't really a thing, let's say.
Yeah. What year was so that? That was what, 3-4 years ago?
Oh, yeah, probably now. Probably a bit longer now, to be fair. Four, if not more.
So, I would say esports really became maybe accepted mainstream-wise in like the last 12 to 8, like 24 months pretty much, right?
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? 100%. It's been accepted in the last year or so.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So like you must have been really early on in that community.
Yeah, I was. So I was, because originally I was really interested in that community, so then I moved on. Originally I wanted to play, and then I realized I was god awful at the games, so I moved into like social media management, and then from there, when I realized they didn't really want video content, I went, well, okay, I know I want to do video content, like that's what I want to do. So I kind of left the scene, left it as is, and decided to grow my video content outside of that. So I grew that, so that was kind of where I started my freelance, really. I started contacting local companies. I did like a few like promo videos for like local MMA fight shows. Because at the time I was also like heavily involved in kickboxing. I used to do kickboxing.
Oh, awesome.
So I used to use the links I had from that and like the people I knew from that and say, look, I want to do video content as well, so let me go to your event and produce some video content. So I did that. And then when I started moving up from there to like clubs, I then moved, once I was happy enough with my portfolio, I then moved back into esports and kind of linked up with all the people that I previously worked with and said, look, like, I haven't done much video content in esports because I noticed it was growing.
Yeah.
I haven't done much video content in esports, but this is what the video content I done.
Yep.
And I'd love to video content in esports with you guys. So this is where I want to go. And that's kind of where I got into the main freelance stuff, was when I got into esports, really.
Okay, interesting. So the industry kind of said no to you at first. We don't even need videos and stuff like that. You then kind of took your skills elsewhere, built a track record, and then came back and said, look, this is what I'm doing for other people. I could do this for you. This is what it would look like. And you actually gave them something kind of tangible to look at, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I knew at the time, like, I knew I didn't have much video content when it was, when I was in esports.
Yeah.
I knew that there was just like a passion at that point.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted, I knew I needed something to prove my worth, essentially.
Yeah, of course.
So then I left and started doing free jobs originally.
Yep.
Like I said, doing free event recap videos. And then moved into the clubs, started doing club photography, then moved into doing club videography.
Yep.
Because obviously that's when more money is.
Yeah, of course. And then
went back and said, look, this is what I've done. Mm-hmm. And I want to do this for, and it helped as well, because like event recap videos is what esports, like all esports stuff is esports events.
Yeah.
So event recap videos from like MMA fights, kind of linked to esports events, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because they can obviously see how that kind of video product could translate to, you know, showcasing their event type of thing like that. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
exactly. I think, like, that's like the name of the game. You obviously have to have something to show what you do, you know what I mean? I think to a video creator, it's very easy to describe a type of video, right? And then we know the process so we can picture it. But to a normal person who doesn't really understand, who, you know, who maybe is focusing on business or something else, you do need a showreel, a portfolio, something that shows like an extensive track record, and that's going to kind of make the argument for you, if you know what I mean. I think a lot of beginners, you know what I mean, this is something you need to forge for yourself instantly, is a track record, something that shows like, shot by Kieran, all right, cool, I see this guy shoot some videos, like it's obvious by the time you look at their online brand, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, even if it's like fan videos, for example.
Yes.
I know people that have made like fan-made Coca-Cola adverts, for example.
Yep.
And it's completely fan-made, like they haven't been commissioned to do it, but they've done it. And the fact that not only are they then showing their worth content-wise by making that advert,
yep,
if they can then stay on brand to, let's say, Coca-Cola, let's say they've watched, I don't know, 4 or 5 different Coca-Cola adverts,
mm-hmm,
and it also looks similar to the other Coca-Cola adverts,
yeah,
then to like a normal brand, they can go, okay, well then he can easily understand what what our brand looked like, because he could take what Coca-Cola looks like and apply it to his work.
Yeah, of course.
So then they can
aesthetically.
Yeah. Exactly. So then they can link it to their business as well. So even if it's like little things like that, they go a long way, mate. 100%.
Yeah. No. Like I literally couldn't agree more. In my opinion, the things I emphasize to the younger freelancers that come to me is presentation and proactiveness. Present your work super well. Like make it an obvious, you know, when you land on your portfolio or whatever, it's obvious, like, wow, this person clearly does what they've just told me they do, right? And then proactiveness, by literally just applying to the most work, shooting the most stuff, whether it even be not for much money in the first place. Don't even look at the money in the first place, because the more people the more people you touch hands with, you know, fucking Jerry who paid you £5 for a gig or something, he might get hired somewhere and get you 5 more gigs, like, you know what I mean? Like, all type of little things tie in. They have for me, mate. Literally, I've shot stuff for no money where the people couldn't even pay me for like a month because their event went so bad. And then they've been hired at, you know, a huge nightclub and stuff like that. Ended up getting me hired for five more gigs, you know, from a much more high profile client, right? By just not even being too worried about the money in the first place, you know?
Yeah, 100%. This business is 100% who you know.
Not
really what you know.
Yep.
It's like I've got a degree, but that doesn't get me in the door.
No, yeah.
What gets me in the door is knowing the person behind the company that I want to work with.
1,000%.
Like, I know a guy who shot a load of work for Monster.
Yep.
In esports, and the guy that hired him through Monster, like the guy who worked for the marketing team at Monster, he moved to a company called Turtle Beach,
mm-hmm,
and now the photographer is no longer doing work for Monster. He's doing work for Turtle Beach.
Yeah.
Probably the same amount of money. Probably, if not more, because it's a lesser known client.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that he moved, so did the photographer, because the guy that he knew moved to a different company. So it proves that it's literally who you know.
Oh, dude, 1,000%. literally. That's what I would emphasize to people is network, you know? Network even if there isn't like an obvious connection to be made. Like, don't network because like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, don't social climb. Oh, him there, I'm gonna go grab him and he's gonna get me the position. No, just literally make as many friends as you can along the process and just trying to kind of maintain that client relationship, turn it into a bit more of a friendship. It's easier if they're younger, obviously, because you don't actually know where, you know, where these people are gonna end up, you know what I mean? And that's kind of the reality of the situation. But you've got a dope setup now, man. Literally, I was looking at some of your picks and stuff. So you got like the which gimbal do you have again?
So I got the Crane 2 gimbal. I actually got Crane 2 and the Crane Plus.
Yeah.
So I have both gimbals.
Okay, awesome. So like the gimbal has so much goddamn stability. It literally takes, you know, a quality to the next fucking level once you get a gimbal, I think, mate. But what equipment did you actually start with, right?
I mean, I started with a 70D.
Yep.
And that was where I did. I bought the 70D years ago.
Yeah.
And then I never used it. Stayed in my cupboard, literally collecting dust.
Yeah.
And then I started doing obviously the club photography. So I started using that. And then I did like, I don't know, two videos that I used my 70D for. Yeah. And then I went, you know what? I'm just gonna make the jump.
Yeah.
And then I bought the Sony A7 III.
Nice.
I bought it on finance. I bought it on buy now, pay in a year.
Awesome.
Because I was like, look.
You need it.
I need it. Yeah. And I can't. I'm not making the income right now.
Yep.
But I feel like I will be able to. I feel like I always say like kit's not the be all and end all. Yep. You've got to be able to shoot with what you've got first, which is 100% true. I 100% agree with you.
Yep.
But I was getting to that point where, like, let's say I needed slow motion. Mm-hmm. I needed better in low light.
Yep.
And so that was really the kind of realization that that's exactly what I needed to do. And I mean, it helped because of the situation I was in. I was at university, I was studying, and they have a kit room with a load of kit, which I could I could book out for free to use for my own work and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that's why I realized, that's what helped me realize, okay, I need to one up, because I'd book out that camera for a gig and then I'd realize, wow, this actually made my job 10 times easier.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, time is money.
100%. So
if I've got to pay $2,000 for a camera, but A, it makes me more money because it steps up my quality, and B, it makes the time I spend on the project shorter, yep, because I can do what I want easier and quicker, then 100% it's worth it.
1,000%. I literally couldn't agree more. I think people should make do with what they currently have, because at the end of the day, you know, if you can't get anything more, what are you going to do? Cry and not do anything? No, you got to continue and make do with what you currently have. But, you know, once you feel as though you actually are being held back, you know, obviously it's a no-brainer to actually upgrade. But I mean, the people that don't have the equipment, so you've talked about even when you didn't have, you were renting it from university and stuff like that. Like, people who don't have the equipment, because lots of people don't, right? How can they best kind of be most efficient right now and then also kind of set themselves up to maybe build that kit up later on? You know, how can they make do with what they currently got best right now?
The best way, obviously, you learn the principles of cinematography and photography. And I think, personally, the best way to learn it is start with photography.
Mm-hmm.
If you know how to frame the right photo, if you know how to make a photo look good, then you just got to apply those same principles to video and make it a moving image instead of a still image.
Yep.
Then it works. It works exactly. Like, the principles for photography and videography is exactly the same. Super photography is 10 times easier to learn because it's one frame.
Mm-hmm.
Videography is obviously multiple frames. But once you learn how to do that one frame, apply it to the same thing for video, and you're done. Like, you've done it. So learn that first. Learn rule of thirds. Learn how to frame like a subject. Learn how to frame like a landscape, where you put in your horizon and the lines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Learn that first. And you can learn that on your phone. Dude, everyone's got a phone.
Everybody's
nowadays
got the guides built into their phone. It makes it even easier.
Yeah, and you can turn the guides on. I have my guides on my camera all the time.
Yep.
On my phone camera.
Yep.
All the time. And they're right there. That is literally the rule of thirds. That is what they are. They're there on your phone. learn it there first, and then maybe start, like I said, once you know how to take a photo and it looks good, then apply it to video, and then go from there, and then build your, like I said, like, and if you don't be scared about what equipment you've got as well, because if you go to a company and say, I want to make a video for you, but I know I haven't got much like work, so I'll do it for free, they're not paying you, so they're not going to sit there and go, oh my god, I can't believe he doesn't have the best camera available.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're not paying you, so they're not going to care, like, in that sense.
Oh, 100%.
You're not costing them anything, so it doesn't matter what kit you've got, because it doesn't, like, because it just matters on what it looks at the end.
100%. And it's only upside for them. They're not losing anything, you know?
Exactly, exactly. So they're not going to care. Yep. No one's going to care what kit you've got. The only time you should feel like, I don't know, not embarrassed, but slightly like, is let's say they've hired another media company.
Yeah.
And they turn up with, I don't know, 3 C100s and three Sony A7Ss, and then you're there with your little Canon 70D. Then you feel a little bit like, but then at the end of the day, you just think, okay, well, they're getting paid. I'm not. They must be getting paid quite a lot of money because look at the amount of kit they've got. And then you learn, you network with them and say, okay, well, how did you build it? How did you get this amount of kit?
Yep.
Where did you start? And you're there learning straight away. And there you go. There's your first network. There's your first link. And you've just got your first free job as well.
Uh-huh.
And you can learn from them. You're there filming, learning from your own mistakes, but then you're also watching the quote unquote pros do it.
Yep.
And you can learn from what they do and how they film content. You never know. They might film content slightly differently.
Yep.
Let's say they've got three cameras and they want to cover three angles of the fight. You don't, for example, let's say it's an MMA event. You might think, oh, how am I going to do that? Like, I'm only one person. But you might say, for example, they set it up and, I don't know, they've got a guy set up with a wireless remote sat at the back of the stands watching one camera, and then you've got one guy remotely recording another one, and you're like, well, there you go, there's an idea. I don't need to have three people on each camera. Mm-hmm. I could do two cameras myself.
And you start getting context on like how an actual more professional environment actually, you know, happens and is set up and everything, and what really happens, all the moving pieces and everything.
Yeah, and then you just apply that to the second job. You can't focus, too many people in this industry, I think, in my opinion, focus on the negatives. I speak to so many people and they go, oh my god, did you see that post the other day where someone was looking for, I don't know, a wedding videographer? Look how many comments there were. There were 60 different people that commented.
Right.
But instead of focusing on the fact that 60 different people comment, what makes you different?
Yep.
How, like, for example, I've got, I don't know how many, I've got like at least 15 wedding videos booked this year.
Yep.
And on my website, I have one wedding video.
Yep.
So how did I book those 15? Is I went, okay, well, what makes me different? There's no point showing my previous wedding video work first, because that's what everyone does. So what makes me stand out? Well, what makes me stand out is the clients I've previously worked with, MasterCard, Red Bull, Ubisoft, all the others that I've worked with as well.
You use brand association as a marketing tactic.
Exactly. Amazing. You know, everyone knows MasterCard.
Yep.
Everyone knows Red Bull. Everyone knows Ubisoft.
Yep.
But they as long as they know, they can then put in their own head, okay, well, if this guy's worked with those three brands and they're world-renowned brands,
yep,
he's got to be good, right? And that's what makes me different. I'm not going, okay, well, here's my work. I'm going, okay, here's who I've worked with, and then there's my work.
You're leaning on your track record. You're showing, look at this track record right here. By reading that, it has to be obvious to a practical-minded person that you clearly must do what you do, or else these bigger brands wouldn't have associated with you, and that's extremely clever. Anytime you can do that, that's obviously going to boost you. That's a similar tactic I used when I was editing, videos for YouTubers, is I was obviously just use the, you know, the biggest YouTuber with the most subscribers, and I would use their subscriber count as a leverage point to say, hey, I'm editing for this million subscriber YouTuber, therefore hire me, right? Huge. That's called, brand association. I think that's called, right? You're leveraging somebody who's a bigger brand than you, right? To obviously make yourself, increase the value of the product that you're offering, right? So You're saying you've worked with a lot of brands. I want to get into those a little bit later. But first off, how long were you actually making videos before you started getting paid? Because a lot of people can get put off. Some people are hilarious. People will comment on my videos, "Hey, Jack, I just started learning video editing today. How long until I can get paid?" You know, so those are on the extreme other side. But obviously, that's ridiculous. This is something you got to do for a fucking long time, you know, to actually figure out how to do it before you actually can work out the business side to it. But how long were you personally making videos before you started getting paid?
I mean, making videos as in, like, in general, like YouTube skits and stuff, yeah, yeah, I was yeah. probably making those for like 3 years before I'd 3 years before I'd even kind of worked out what how I can make money from this.
Totally.
But let's say from the moment I realized, okay, I want to do event recap videos, uh-huh. right? I'm going to focus on doing that. I probably was working 7-8 months yep. of doing free event videos, probably at least once a month, if not more, mm-hmm. Of doing free event videos before I'd put a price on it.
100%.
And it's not that, it's more necessarily like finding the right client before you realize that yeah. you can get paid for this, because so many people will try and take advantage of you for doing that free video.
Yeah.
You've got to find that right client that goes, okay, well, I know you obviously put in a lot of work for this, so I am going to pay you. Mm-hmm. And then that's your moment where you go, holy shit, like I really can get paid for this. Like it's kind of that moment, in my opinion, anyway.
Yep.
I think it's finding the right client that's willing to A, give you that money,
yeah.
And matching that with your skill. So obviously if that client goes, okay, well, I'm not, I know you put a lot into work with this, I'm going to pay you £200,
yeah, yeah.
for example, for this video, then you know, okay, well, if he's willing to pay £200, surely everyone else is willing to pay £200. Like £200 are a right amount, right?
That's your rate now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you start with that rate. And then when you realize, oh, I'm getting quite busy, I'm getting quite a lot of bookings, then you put your rate up.
Yep.
You don't, in my opinion, you don't put your rate up depending on, like, let's say if you was there for like an hour, 2 hours longer, maybe I should put my rate up a bit more. You put your rate up when you're getting busy.
Totally.
When you're realizing, okay, I'm getting too busy to do this work, I should put my rate up. And then you go from there. If you start with a high rate, you're never going to get booked for those. But then there's also a line as well. Like I've seen a lot of people say, oh, they like wedding, for example, there's a wedding videographer that I know that yep. charges £200 for a 10 minute highlight video, and he's there for like 8-9 hours.
Oof.
And I know that's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
like Jesus not Christ. that's stupid.
It should be 10 times like, that. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I'd rather get, I don't know, 3 bookings
yep.
With at my rate than he probably gets, let's be honest, at £200 he's probably getting a load of bookings.
Yeah.
But when you're getting a load of bookings, you should go, now I'm being taken advantage of a bit, let's up my price a little bit. Oh, and go from there.
100%. And also creating perceived value as well. I think a tactic that I got, it was the same thing, especially with the filming live events kind of sector, you know, until you get to an actual successful event promotion, you know, group, like there's not a whole lot of money for them. A lot of the time they're breaking even every event and they don't have much money to throw you or whatever. But what I started doing after I'd shot maybe like 5+ events for free live events, right, at small venues, is I started messaging people through Facebook and just wording my message as if I had like fees already. So I would say, hey, what's going on, I saw your event coming up, I'd love to offer you guys an introductory price of £50 for the video. And then I'd say my normal price is 100, but for my first time customers, I like to offer them half off to sweeten the deal. And you know, I'd never been paid any money to shoot a video so far. And that kind of got people to bite in the first place. And also it set it up like, hey, I gave you this price, but in the future, you know what my real price is. My real price is £100 a pop. I'm just giving you an introductory price today. And that's actually how I got probably my first like 5+ paying event clients around here. Is just by kind of, you know, wording my message a little bit, you know, a little bit manipulative, to be honest, you know what I mean? Just by kind of training
yeah.
them.
Well, yeah, you've got it, really. Like, I know so many wedding, like, videographers
mm-hmm.
that they put a deal, they go, like, let's say, for example, in my opinion, biggest mistake you'll ever make is putting your prices out there.
Yep.
Like in the public eye. Prices change. Should change per client, per project. If, for example, I don't want to name drop them again, but let's say MasterCard won an event recap and then some geezer who's running an event locally, I'm not going to charge them the same.
No, fuck no.
Like, even though it's the same work and it's probably the same amount of hours,
of course.
Like, I'm not going to charge them the same. It's obviously not.
Yeah.
So the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest mistake you'll ever make is putting your prices out there online, because then you're stuck to those prices.
Oh, of course. If you have on your website, I charge X amount per hour, that's not thinking clearly, obviously, because there's even clients who will lower the price. You know what I mean? If it's a local friend or something, they're having their own event or something, and I've done this, you know, all right, cool. You know, you're my friend. I'm lowering my prices for you because it's, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're not going to overextend yourself and, you know, I don't even feel good charging you that. So of course, my prices jump up and jump down. That's the beauty of this industry, isn't it? Is, you know, the client comes in loads of different shapes and sizes. It's never the same person in front of you. So it's never like a one size fits all. It could be similar for sure, but usually it's always changing around, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so one of the guys that I know, he was doing like, I'll do 20% off my wedding videography packages for the next month if you book them within the next month. But what he didn't tell anyone is that he was just upping his prices by 20%. So he was actually getting the same amount than what he'd normally get.
Yeah.
But he was just upping his original price by 20% and telling them, oh, with the 20% off, you get it to this price. And that's just the normal price.
That's wonderful.
Like, it's bad if people were to find out, but it's clever as hell.
Very clever, for sure. And, you know, at the end of the day, from a business perspective, you got to admire it. If you're a client, you're probably going to get a little annoyed listening to this. But from a business perspective and from a freelancer perspective, that's hilarious, honestly. So what's the main kind of videos you currently make? It's esports, is it? Or, I mean, I've just seen you and I in Napa. That was more from some event style stuff, right? That didn't look like it was esports, was it?
No. I flew out to Napa for I shot a few events out there.
Cool.
So it was with like Tion Wayne, DJ Rusky,
cool.
Shaq 5. I don't know whether you'll know any of them.
No, their names are familiar, especially Shaq 5.
Yeah, they're like, so obviously another one of my main incomes is club work, right? So,
of course.
They found, basically, with club work, like I said, it's all networking. How I got that job was literally one of the DJs who used to work at one of my local clubs that I work at every weekend.
Yeah.
He got sacked from the local club and then found this job. And this job was in Bristol, which is probably about half an hour, 45 minutes away from me. And basically, this guy was looking at putting on events every other weekend. And this DJ was going to be the new resident DJ.
Yep.
So then he then put me in touch. He said, oh, do you know any videographers? So the DJ then gave him my number.
Of course.
He then contacted me. I then did all the resident club nights every Wednesday.
Yep.
And then he said, look, this summer I want to fly out to Napa. I'm hosting some events out there with a few people.
Yep.
Will you fly out with me? I was like, yeah, sure.
Definitely.
Of course I will. So that's where that came from. It's so like I said, clubs and esports is mainly where I make my money. It was a great time. It was a really nice place to be. And it was an amazing experience to kind of have a holiday at the same time, because obviously I shot three events out there, but I was out there for like, what, I think I was out there for like 14-15 days. So three events over the 14-15 days, I had a lot of downtime.
Yeah,
I rented a quad.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was unreal.
And then
actually before I left, I got offered to stay out there for the rest of the month.
Oh wow.
To cover basically they've got this thing called the Club 100 Mega Deal, which is like you pay X amount and you get access to all these events every week you're out there.
Oh cool. Yeah, it's like a bundle type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this guy that I was working for, he was part of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So then when they posted the video, the guy who runs the company who runs that deal saw the video and was like, oh, we need you to make every single video for all of our events for the rest of this month.
Wow.
And I ended up just turning it down because I've got clients over here that I'd have to find cover for. Which isn't a problem.
You didn't want to let people down. You didn't want to take on new stuff and screw over people that was already booked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And some of the people that I've got booked this year, this month is new clients.
Yeah.
So they could earn me more money than staying out there for the next month anyway. So
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, there's that. But again, that's another link that I've got. Mm-hmm. And he said that they might have to fly me. They might fly me back out in September for what they call Cyprus break. That's a week in September.
Yeah.
That's a new client there, and then obviously the old client, the one that originally sent me out, he's got an event out there that week as well, so he's going to need video, and I'm already out there filming for the other client, so I can do both. The old client, my original client, might have to fly me back out there next week because he's got an event, really big event on, so he wants to fly me out there for one night to shoot that. So I've gone there for 14 days or whatever. But it's created work for the future, 100%.
That's amazing. So I think, what would you break that down to? Just networking with everybody, right? How do you go to a gig that you've got this gig? How do you make that into three more gigs after that? How do you extend this?
It's three things really. It is networking, making sure people know who you are and who to contact. So little things like, I always carry around business cards.
Of course.
I always give them to anyone that I meet. I always give them to, and then obviously I wear merch that has my brand on it.
Awesome.
I've got a jumper that has like my logo, my website, because my logo on my website is part of my logo. So I've got logo website on the front,
cool.
A huge logo website on the back, and then it says shopkieran.com down the sleeves.
So you're you branded, are not head missing. To toe. Yep.
Yeah, you are not missing where I'm from.
Beast. Like, yeah, well, yeah. I love it. Yeah.
So little things like that. So even if I don't give you a business card, you know where I'm from. It's on my sleeves. It's on my top. It's on my back. So then when they release the video, they go, okay, well, I was at that event. I know the guy that shot that because he was the one wearing that weird ass jumper with his logo everywhere.
Yeah.
I'll go on his website and I'll see how I can contact him. And that's where it worked from there. And then actually, one of the DJs that was DJing, the Shaq 5 DJ, he messaged me on Instagram after the video got released and he wants to fly me out to Marbella at the end of this month for one of his residencies and Malia in August. So there's more work from that as well. There's two other jobs.
Dope.
So it's because, like I said, it's because I didn't even give my business card to that guy, but like I said, because I made sure he knew who I was by the branding that I was wearing. I didn't even say, oh hi, my name's Kieran, I'm from Shop by Kieran, whatever.
Yeah.
I was wearing a jumper that had it anyway, so we put two and two together.
Of course. So you're just going literally heavy guerrilla branding, just fucking everywhere in people's face. I love that. That's very much something I relate to, man. Seriously, that's something I gotta do, man. I haven't even thought of that. It's actually repping the merch with just super obvious, you know, contact me. Looking for a videographer? ? I'm the guy, you know, like literally just right in their face. I love that. I think, you know, the more kind of obvious, the more out there you can be, the better, man. Literally, I business cards is guaranteed. If you don't have business cards, you should go and order them literally right now. They're so cheap. You know, it's a piece of paper. You can carry 10 in your wallet at all times. That's like the basics of marketing, I think. And then also, if you listen to this, people, making a fucking t-shirt is not even a bad idea, man. Making a t-shirt and a cap, whatever, is a solid idea because it's, you know, it's a uniform to essentially have people recognize you by.
It's free advertisement. Like, I'm wearing a t-shirt right now that says Panavision.
Yep.
This is a cine camera make. Why would I go to a job and advertise, I don't know, Superdry, Panavision, whatever, Jack Wills? Why would I advertise them when I can advertise myself?
Boom. Talking like $1 million right there, Kieran. Speaking like $1 million.
Yeah, literally.
I love it, bro.
And people laugh, like if you go on, like, for example, my Facebook, I've said for years now, I accept everyone and anyone on my Facebook. Because what do? I share funny memes.
Yep.
Great, hilarious. Or I post about where I'm working or what I'm doing.
Yep.
Free advertisement again. So I'm adding everyone because it's free advertisement. If they see it on their timeline, it's and then same thing with Instagram. I follow anyone, whatever.
You know what I did when I made my production company, bro? You'll probably appreciate this. My Facebook has not been the same since I started my production company 3 years ago. I went out to Facebook and I added 3,500 people. I maxed out the account, you know what I mean? Of the most friends you can have. I added every person that popped up suggested in my entire area. I don't know a single person that posts on my Facebook now if I go there. Added every single person just to invite them to my fucking Facebook page. Just to invite all those thousands and thousands of people to the Facebook page. You know, I literally decimated my Facebook. And it's a marketing tool. And if you're afraid to use that, you know, it means nothing.
Yeah, it's 100%. It literally, it's like the T-shirt. It's free advertisement. Yep. Like, why not? It's like, people laugh at like my college and university and stuff because they go, "Oh, like you're so like, you're just constantly about the plug or whatever."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why wouldn't you be? Like, it's free advertisement. Yep. It makes sense. If someone wants a wedding video, they know that I do it. There you go.
Boom.
Like it literally is free advertisement. What I want everyone in my course, everyone who knows me at my university, I want them to know what I do.
Facts.
Because it could potentially lead to more work. It makes sense.
100%. You want to make yourself, especially if you're living in a smaller area, you should be the video person. When people think of you, they should think that's the fucking video person. You know, like you've created a brand for yourself, essentially. And that's what translates into more work. That's brand. Like sales is great if, you know, you're a salesperson and you have all the time to, you know, be cold emailing people and cold calling people and everything like that. And that's, you know, I guess how you can be in control of bringing in your clients. But brand is how you're going to get clients when you're not trying to get clients. Your brand speaks for itself outside of yourself. And nobody can be fucked to send 100 messages a day and then phone call 100 businesses a day and then, you know, message people 100 times on Instagram. But setting up a brand is something that works for you when you're not even looking. Brand is huge, even if it's small, even if it's in a smaller area, right? And, you know, speaking of brands, you've worked with Red Bull, MasterCard, Ubisoft. What's some other big names? These are just three that come to my mind instantly.
X-Blades, Gloucester Rugby. Yep. Jesus, I can't think of any more now. Yeah. They've all got out of my head.
Hey,
but,
bro, the first few are too big. It doesn't even matter.
The fact
of the matter is, how do you start shooting videos for big brands like that? You know, especially a beginner videographer could be intimidated. Holy fuck, how would I one day do that? You know, break it down. How did you actually get even in the same spaces as maybe representatives of these brands so that you could represent this brand by actually creating a video?
To me, it was perfect, really. So I'm involved in esports.
Yeah.
And MasterCard last year announced their first involvement in esports where they sponsored the League of Legends World Championships.
Okay.
So it was their first time diving into esports. They've been researching it for years.
Yeah.
They'd gone to all of the League of Legends big events to kind of research it before they decided to create this partnership.
Yep.
And then they were looking for a videographer that knew the esports scene, because obviously they didn't know the esports scene. They don't know what moments to capture.
Yep.
So obviously their MasterCard as a brand, they're all about, I don't know what, price for surprises.
Yeah.
Use your MasterCard here, and we might just give you a VIP ticket.
Yeah.
And so I'll know the big moments to capture for when people are excited, for when people are sad, for the reaction moments, because they don't know it. They're MasterCard. They probably never watched, like the people that are working behind them have probably never watched the game themselves.
They just look at the
statistics. Yeah, they just look at the statistics and how much money it could potentially make them.
Yeah. It's a business move. It's all a business move, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They don't care about what happens in the game, but they do when it comes to the video because they need to know it to get the good clips.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for someone that knew the game, knew esports, and worked hand in hand. And really, that's where that came involved.
Yeah.
And the way I got that was the way that I managed to get the repeat business.
Yeah.
So obviously they've booked me again for two more events this year. Can't say where they are, but they'll be revealed soon.
Yeah, totally.
And basically there, I said, okay, well, pay me this price, and I will bring two people. I'll bring myself and someone else.
Mm.
So you're paying for two people. And it was actually my missus who came with me, because she's obviously doing the same thing as me,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is amazing. She came to Napa with me to do it as well.
Wow, dope.
So it's amazing that we can have the experiences like that. So essentially I said, right, I'll bring two people and then we can work together. So she went off, she shot some of the videos, and then I sat in the room and I edited them all. Most of the content was turned around within 15, 20 minutes of them actually staging these setup, for example.
Yeah.
So they used to do like 1v1s. The 1v1 would be done and I'd have the video done within like 20 minutes.
Holy shit. So is that something that they're actually requesting? Is you guys actually be pumping out that content instantly so they can be doing live stuff on Twitter, Facebook and stuff, all the micro content?
Well, we had a meeting before and they said, look, we want, they said they wanted four pieces of content a day, short 15, 20 second videos. Four different ones of those per day. And I just said, you know what? Like, I'm just going to smash that. I know four is probably their ideal, but I know if I was to do four, they're going to come up with more. They're not going to, like, I didn't do it to kind of sit there and go, do you know what? If I do four in the first 2 hours, my day's done. I can go out.
I didn't
do it that way. I wanted to do it as, do you know what? If I can do four within the first 2 hours, they're going to come up with more and then they're going to get more. And then they're going to realize that they're paying for more content, which in turn is makes it more valuable for them to hire me again, which is exactly what happened within the first 2 hours. Within the first 2.5 hours, I'd done those four pieces of content, and it was like they had to call everyone out for another meeting to say, okay, well, what more video content do we need?
Yeah,
and they actually involved me in that meeting. They was like, look, Kieran, like, what more video content do you think? Because obviously, like I said, they don't know the event. So I can go, well, okay, well, maybe we can do this, that, other, for example. Yep. And so I was coming up with ideas as well. And then in the end, they kind of just do it. And we did different videos on the different things that they had at the event. And then we went from there. So obviously, I provided value to them because they went in saying, right, we're paying him X amount, but we'll get four pieces of content.
Yep.
But yeah, they're paying me the same amount, but they're getting more. 100%. So in turn, it's not a smart business decision because it's I've created more work for myself.
Yep.
But it is because now they booked me for two more events, so that's more money for me.
I 100% agree. To be honest, I mean, when you're a video creator, to whip up four videos, then to whip up another four when it's only taking you 2 hours to whip up the original, it's really not the craziest thing to imagine in the world, right? And I think this is something I do when I do the first job is I fucking go hard on that first job. You know, if the client needs a goddamn fucking drink of water, let me grab that water for you. But that's an exaggeration. But, you know, essentially I try to make that first project just like the biggest impression of like I'm a hard worker, I'm doing the thing, fast turnaround, everything. I try to make that first job go essentially as good as possible, and that sets you up the best for repeat business because they're going to know, they're going to get the best first impression of you right off the bat, you know? And, that's 100% going to set you up for future work. But you've been in-house, haven't you? Like, you've actually been in-house, and like now you're freelance, but I remember, did you tell me a little bit about how you were in-house for a company as their main kind of video person?
Yeah, so I worked part-time for a company called Deserto. They're like an esports news outlet. Okay. Website basically, and I worked part time for them, and they employed me part time to make basically turn their written articles into a video format to go on Twitter, on Facebook, or whatever. So I worked part time for them. I worked just over a year for them part time. But what I also did on the side was they needed a videographer for an event. And obviously because they knew I wasn't just a video editor, I was also a videographer, I'd go to the events with them and that would be on top of my salary. So I'd go there earning more money.
Okay. So,
and Deserto is a big brand anyway. So it got me more links in the esports world that way as well.
Awesome. So, That's very cool. We could touch on that for a second because what in your opinion is the benefits between actually just all the time freelancing? You have no organization you're actually tapped in, whether it be a company or a production company, whatever. What's the benefits of being a full-time of having like a full-time stable thing like that versus being on your own as a freelancer, full-time freelancer?
I had the best of both worlds really when I was doing that. Obviously, the stable if I was to sit there and say I work part-time, you're going to think, okay, well, he was working 12 to 4 every single 3 days a week.
Yeah.
No, what really happened was it was part-time, but they'd send me X amount of videos I'd need to do that month, and as long as they were done by the end of the month, doesn't matter. So I could pick I could pick and choose when I needed to do those videos.
You still have freedom in your schedule.
Yeah, I still have freedom in the schedule, and that is the number one difference, obviously, between working for a company and working for yourself.
Yeah.
Working for a company, you're bound to their rules.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, it is you will clock in at this time, you'll finish at this time, and you'll go home and you're done. Which is, for some people, that's exactly what they want. I've been saying to myself for the past couple of months, I'm starting to dislike the amount of freelance work I'm doing. I'm burning out, I'm doing too much, and in result it's resulting in the fact that I have less free time. I'm never switching off. I find myself constantly responding to emails on my phone. I find myself constantly checking Twitter, Instagram for more work. I don't have time where I'm switching off and not doing something to do with work. Which is good, because I'm constantly on the lookout for more work, which means more money. But it's not, because I'm never switching off, and which is where I feel like I'm burning out. So that's why sometimes a part-time job or full-time job, something like that, is perfect. They know when they finish work at 5 o'clock, they can go home and they're done for the evening.
They can turn off. There's no always being on, right? I think that's
exactly.
That's...
With freelance, there's never anything like that.
No.
You can't switch off. If you switch off, you've missed an opportunity 9 times out of 10.
100%.
Someone else has got that video.
100%.
And that's the worst part about being freelance, is you feel like by switching off, you're potentially losing an income. And that's the worst situation to be in. And that's why you need to work it so you're comfortable with switching off. You're comfortable with the money you're earning. So you can switch off.
So
but
that's super
the first so the first, like, I don't know, year of you being freelance, you're gonna feel like you constantly can't switch off, because you need that money.
Yeah.
But eventually you will get to a point where you're comfortable with the money.
Yeah.
You're comfortable with being able to switch off, and comfortable with the fact that somebody else might get that job. Well, I don't need that job now because I've got this.
Exactly. And that's the number one thing I would emphasize, is this game, if you are a project-to-project kind of person, right? If you're hopping from one project to one project and you're never finding anything stable, it is a constant state of obviously having to look for the next thing and to line up the next opportunity for yourself, or obviously, you know, be afraid that you're not going to pay the bills or whatever. But a micro thing you can do in there, which is kind of in between getting a full-time gig and freelancing, is seeing people who want recurring work, right? So maybe you tap in with an event promotion company who hosts a video every other week, right? And then you tap in with, you know, three of those companies, and now you're shooting videos every single, you know, multiple videos every single week for a bunch of people. And instead of just negotiating one deal, they negotiate that they want a video every single Saturday for the next 7 months or whatever, right? And then you've actually got yourself a micro job. It's almost like a full-time position, but it's not, you still have, you know, all your other time, and then you can obviously add up, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other clients who are also giving you multiple videos a week. And that is something you should target if you're a videographer, because it's going to be able to, just like you're saying now, give you the peace of mind of not feeling like, holy fuck, I missed an opportunity here. Hopefully the next one comes and then I'm going to get that one too, you know? And it makes you sleep a little easier for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that is literally exactly what I've done.
Yep.
So I used my – so I obviously I used to work freelance for clubs, doing photos and videos.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I've done is I've created another company that I run, that basically is a mini agency for my area. Yep. I run a team of photographers and videographers that go to different events. And I provide you with a photographer for your event. I provide you with a videographer for your event. 9 times out of 10, the videographer is me. Photographer is probably someone else.
Yeah.
But there is my quote-unquote stable income, because they want photos every week, sometimes 3 times a week, sometimes definitely twice a week, sometimes 3 times a week, sometimes more.
Yep.
Sometimes they want one video a month, sometimes they want one video a week. But the whole idea with the stable income is now I've got three or four venues under my belt, which I manage every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my stable income. 3 or 4 venues a month that want photos every single week, video once a month, if not more, and there's your stable income.
Exactly, exactly. And that's something you should be, that's the business model, essentially, people. If you're listening to this and, you know, that's essentially the business model. You want to, if you're starting right now, you want to go hard as fuck in the original stages. You actually want to do the, almost the opposite of this, I guess, kind of, is just touch as many people, literally just literally do as many jobs as possible because you're actually putting yourself.
Open as many doors.
Exactly. There you go. Right there. Boom. Open as many doors, build as many bridges as you possibly can in the first 12 months to 18 months, right? And naturally, your energy, if you enjoy this, should just enable you to carry on for that entire period. You shouldn't even be thinking these kind of thoughts of more stability until later on, because like naturally, as I'm speaking from experience, you know, and it sounds like you as well, we were very driven in the first place. You have to build that kind of, you know, original few jobs that you've done, but then literally just start to build up a consistent clientele, you know, and that may force you into an area of video creation that, you know, is a little bit more consistent because you have to find something that makes sense. That's why events make so much sense because, okay, this is a place where people come and pay money to the promoter who can then give me a portion of that money to promote the event via, you know, a video, which then brings more people that will give him more money in the future, you know, so it's an obvious basic mathematic kind of equation, you know what I mean? Other than events, what's some consistent jobs that you found in videography? What's the most consistent areas, right? If you're thinking, damn, maybe they're 15, 16 or something, someone watching this, and they don't, you know, they can't get into the club and they don't have a fake ID or whatever yet, right? What's something else? Gym promos, awesome. So gym personal fitness.
Yeah, because they're always looking for intake. Yeah. January, you have people making New Year's resolutions on them being fit. So they're going to want loads of video content in that month or prior to that month to run as adverts online.
Yep.
And then over the summer, they're going to need adverts because people are going on holiday. Yep. So they're going to need to keep, the members that they've already got. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need video content then.
Yep.
Because they need to keep the ads running and keep it in their mind that people still need to be fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, at the end of summer, people's come back from their holiday, probably put on a few stone, and they want to lose it.
Yep.
There you go. There's your new work. There's your new adverts there.
Yep.
And repeat. Done.
Amazing.
And there's four or five stages there that you can that you can make regular income from. For example, and if like I said, you think, oh, it's only what, four times a year, but if you've got multiple gyms doing that, spread that money over the year, you're sorted.
100%, because there's different seasons. There's different seasons and everything. It literally works.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and some gyms have different intake. Like, for example, one of the gyms I do, they do like 12-week courses. So they need videos every 12 weeks because the course restarts.
So doing stuff with the programs going on inside the actual activity centers. You've got like a big activity center, and then they've got the gym in there, and then they've also got classes going on. So tap that into the individual exercise classes and stuff like that. That's interesting, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then they do it. So and now I've done it. So they go, okay, I need this video done.
Yeah.
For example, and I go, okay, well, I've already got the footage for that. I back up all my footage on every single bit of footage I've ever recorded.
Yep.
is on my hard drive at home. If that corrupts, I swear I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna jump out the window.
Keep it all.
That is my number one advice. 100%. Keep it all. You're never gonna know when a client comes back to you and goes, oh, have you got that? Have you got those clips from last year, for example? Yep. I need you to remake a video. Well, then you've saved time because now you don't have to go and reshoot it. You've already got the clips done. And I know a guy that's happened once where like one of their parents has unfortunately like passed away after that, like a year after their wedding.
Yeah.
And they wanted a recut of their wedding video as like kind of a memory of them as well.
Wow. Yeah,
Imagine if you just delete the footage from that. Right.
Yeah.
You never know the situation, and it could potentially lead to more money. So why not? It doesn't really cost you anything. It costs you what, £150-£200 for a big 8 terabyte hard drive that stays on your shelf. And that £150-£200 could make you a lot more than that. Yeah. But just in the footage.
100%. And also, just from a documentation standpoint, you know, just in the future, you don't know what stuff you want to look back on and what stuff you want to, you know, turn into a show reel maybe at the end of the year. You know, you want all those clips and you want, like, the raw version. You don't want to be fucking going through projects that are, you know, rendered, chopping out the clip that you want, stuff like that, man. That's a nightmare. But all right, man, hell yeah, this has been awesome. I want to finish this up on a really strong note, kind of just impactful for the average viewer, right? Advice for videographers starting out that want to make this a full-time thing.
Okay, so obviously what we've said doesn't really matter about your equipment.
Yeah.
Like I said, first, in my opinion, learn photography first. Once you can apply that to one frame, apply it to all of them, and you learn video.
Huge. No one said that on this podcast. That makes the most sense to me. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And then from there, once you've learned that, just get your name out there. Make sure everybody, especially in your local area, make sure everybody knows who you are, what you do, and then from there, you'll get people coming to you. It is the most important thing for people to know what you're going to do. At the end of the day, that's the business we're in. Totally. If people don't know what you're doing, you're not going to get work.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not posting about the work that you're doing, people aren't going to know that you've done that work, and they aren't going to think, oh my God, he's done. Imagine if I never ever posted that I worked for MasterCard.
Yep.
I hands down wouldn't get some of the jobs that I've got.
No way. Brand association is huge. It makes your brand, the Shot by Kieran, that much bigger. It puts you up a step.
Exactly. It's most important to get people to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to learn from other videographers. It sounds weird because that's probably a key thing to do.
Yeah.
But so many people don't do that. So many people see other videographers. They look, let's say I've gone to a club before and I've been hired from the event promoter. Yeah. But let's say the club itself has hired another photographer.
Mm.
Right? Now, so many people would go into that situation going, I hate that guy. He's potentially taking my money.
Yeah.
He's a competitor. Uh-huh. Which, to be fair, in a normal sense, yes, he is. He is one of your competitors. He or she, obviously.
Yeah, it's a learning experience, though. Yeah.
But you've got to know that at the end of the day, he could potentially make you money.
Yep.
What if a month down the line, the club wants that it's the same event, and the club wants photos as well.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you've made friends with that guy, that guy can go, well, I can't make it, but I know he's already there because he works for the event, so why don't you get him to do both?
Or
made more money.
1,000%. Or if you're a videographer, make friends with the photographer. I've got my friend Noah, who moved up to London to go to film school and stuff like that. You know, we shot a bunch of clubs maybe like a year ago or something like that up in London. And, you know, we actually built a relationship with the photographer, Josh, who does a bunch of photography for places. Now, Noah's just moved out to London and he's just tapped in with the photographer and he does photography. He doesn't like doing video. So everything he's booked for photography that they say they want video, he brings along Noah. Boom, there you go. Now you're getting referrals from somebody else who's also in and made connections themselves. So 1,000%.
Yeah, this job is 100% networking. Like we said at the beginning, it's who you know, not what you know. You never know where this person could go in the future.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a photographer right now, but in 6 months down the line, he might be hired for a big company to manage their marketing scheme.
Yep.
You never know. You might decide to switch up jobs, and now you've got him as a potential contact.
Yep.
And it's you need to be nice to everybody, because you never know where they'll help you out in the future. That's 100%.
It's very true, man. Literally, I think that's an awesome way to end on it, man. Kieran, Shot by Kieran, amazing podcast, my friend. Literally, this is an all-time podcast. Provided a lot of value, man. It was great to have you on, bro. Literally.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing all the comments and stuff.
Hey, 100%, man. If people want to find you, they want to follow you on Instagram, whatever. What is your what's your handle that people can actually get you by?
All my social medias are at Shot by Kieran, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, website, shotbykieran.com. All of them, everything's on there. That's another big thing, to be fair. Make sure your brand is the same across all social medias. It's just easier for people to find.
Yeah, exactly.
Shot by Kieran, all social medias. Pretty much it.
Bro, awesome having you on. I bet the people are going to love it. Can't wait to see the response. Thank you, my man. Take it easy.
Cheers, man. Thanks.
Legend.